Imagine discovering in a single moment that your entire life was built on lies. For Soledad Barnes, this wasn't hypothetical. It was her new reality. During what should have been an ordinary family dinner, FBI agents arrived to arrest her husband Edward for embezzling $6 million. The perfect life she thought she had, beautiful home, three wonderful daughters, successful husband, shattered instantly. The financial security she believed in vanished as their accounts were frozen. The marriage she thought was solid crumbled further when she discovered Edward had used his one phone call from jail to contact someone other than her or his lawyer. The final blow? A doctor's call revealing she had chlamydia, despite being intimate only with Edward for 20 years. When she confronted him in prison, rather than showing remorse, he coldly suggested they divorce, stating she would only hold him back. With newfound clarity, Soledad walked away, promising he'd never see their daughters again, looking back only to declare, "Watch me." I am out with lanterns looking for myself. This Emily Dickinson quote captures Soledad's journey after Edward's betrayal. Instead of rushing into another relationship, she embraces self-partnering, reconnecting with herself first. Her journey begins with keeping their anniversary reservation at Spiro's, transforming it into a self-date. When the host removes Edward's place setting, the empty space becomes symbolic, a declaration that no one is coming to rescue her and her girls. Soledad establishes weekly self-dates, inspiring her followers to join a Dating Myself challenge. She adopts early morning walks through Skyland for journaling and quieting doubts. Reading becomes another tool, particularly Bell Hooks' All About Love, where she finds validation in Hooks' reference to her country home as Soledad Hermosa, beautiful solitude. Most significantly, Soledad reclaims Edward's spaces, transforming his man cave into her she shed with hardwood floors and seafoam green walls, a metaphor for her own transformation. When Edward's crimes left Soledad financially vulnerable, she faced supporting three daughters, two at the prestigious Harrington School, and a mortgage alone. She rejected her mother-in-law's conditional $5,000 offer, declaring, "You can't control us with money." Instead, Soledad leveraged her Cornell Motel degree and homemaking expertise into multiple income streams. She catered for Harrington mothers, sold pear preserves to restaurants, and created seasonal porch drop baskets featuring homemade goods. Her path to independence accelerated when a vinaigrette recipe video garnered 2 million views. Her live-streamed renovation projects and cooking demonstrations connected with viewers through her reassuring catchphrase, "Don't worry, soul's gotcha." These efforts culminated in her successful Souls Farm to Table Pavilion at the Skyland Harvest Festival, leading to the Cowpot Christmas Party catering job and a partnership with the high-end Haven brand. Soledad's reinvention is powerful because she transformed what society often devalues, homemaking, into her greatest asset, achieving economic independence through authentic skills. Throughout Soledad's tumultuous journey, her three daughters, Lupe, Inez, and Lottie, remained her priority and strength. Each girl processed their father's betrayal differently, creating unique challenges as Soledad balanced her healing with supporting theirs. Inez, resembling Edward most, took his absence hardest. She resisted therapy and grew hostile toward Judah, blaming him for her father's imprisonment. When she discovered her mother's relationship with Judah, she confronted Soledad. "I'm sure your rich boyfriend will help us, Mom." Soledad firmly responded, "You will not disrespect me in my house," while understanding Inez's anger stemmed from pain. Lupe showed remarkable resilience, helping with Soledad's business by managing social media. Lottie, the youngest, worried about practical matters like affording gymnastics camp. Soledad shielded her daughters from adult burdens while remaining honest about their circumstances. When she learned Edward had fathered a child with Amber, she left that conversation for him. Their transformation into a business team created an us-against-the-world dynamic that strengthened their bonds. Kennedy Ryan draws from 20 years of parenting an autistic son to create authentic portrayals through Judah's twins, Adam and Aaron. Diagnosed after losing speech around age 2, they present differently. Adam regained more verbal abilities, while Aaron primarily uses a communication device. The novel depicts real challenges, like Aaron's distress when he can't find his special Mega Minx cube, showing how Judah responds by pressing foreheads together and guiding him to breathe during meltdowns. Daily routines accommodate the twins' sensory needs through morning runs and medication. Judah supports their interests regardless of age expectations, recognizing they operate on their own timetable, free from arbitrary social norms. The narrative acknowledges parental impacts, too. Judah and Tremaine's marriage ended partly from the strain of raising children with special needs, with custody arrangements changing when Aaron surprised everyone by typing, "Stay with me," to Judah. This portrayal shows autism as integral to the twins' identity without completely defining them, avoiding both tragedy narratives and savant stereotypes. The novel's most profound message emerges through Soledad and Judah's recognition that love doesn't need to follow conventions. Their relationship evolves despite her recent divorce, his parenting responsibilities, her daughter's resistance, and their emotional wounds. Judah respects Soledad's need for self-discovery while making his interest clear. His begin game finds ways to see her without interfering with her journey. His thoughtfulness appears in meaningful gestures, ordering groceries when her accounts are frozen, bringing a weighted blanket and tea, and gifting a bookmark with pressed flowers. When Judah confesses his love, he adds that it doesn't matter if she's not ready. This absence of pressure allows Soledad to process her feelings authentically. After reading her mother's journals about two great loves, one passionate and consuming, another enduring and secure, Soledad realizes with Judah she has found both. "I don't need marriage," Judah tells her. "I just need this, what's real between us." They belong together, regardless of how their families blend, culminating in their motorcycle ride with no destination because the journey itself was the point. As Soledad rides with Judah, wind in her hair, stars overhead, tears of joy spilling, she embodies the novel's central message. Fulfillment comes from embracing the journey, not reaching a perfect destination. Soledad discovers healing isn't linear, but comes in fits and starts. Reading her mother's philosophy about becoming the love of my life, she questions whether she can love herself that deeply. The novel challenges conventional romance by showing that Judah enhances rather than completes Soledad. As Lola suggests, wholeness isn't a destination, but a lifetime process. This reframes self-love not as a prerequisite to partnership, but as a parallel journey continuing within relationships. In Morocco, Soledad reflects, "I'm not the cool mom or the cool anything. I'm the girl who has always loved too hard and offered too much, sometimes to those who didn't deserve it." This represents acceptance while learning to direct her generous spirit more wisely. The plane of her heart stretches vast enough to love deeply because first she loved herself. Showing self-love and connection to others are complementary journeys.